Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you. Bible study. There's nothing new under the sun. This is yours truly in the studio in Landover Hills, Maryland, Pastor C. And we're in the studio tonight with Dr. G. What's going on, Dr. G?
Not much, just a little.
Man, I have my big sister on the phone, Sheila G, over in Forestville. What's going on, Sheila G?
Nothing much, just being blessed.
I know that's right. Prayerfully, everyone's had a wonderful week. We know that God has blessed us tremendously to be able to get together one more time.
Mm-hmm.
And we just thank God for being able to celebrate, amen, studying the Word again and looking forward to getting together with New Birth on Sunday.
Start amen.
Celebrating their anniversary. Amen. Big ups to New Birth. Woo woo.
Woo-hoo.
How many years is that going to be for pastoring, Dr. G?
18 years for the pastor, 50 for the church.
My goodness.
All right, God is good.
A lot to celebrate. So we're going to be studying the Word of God. And, you know, when you talk about, you know, celebration of 18 years, 18 for the pastor?
18
for the pastor and 50 years for the church. You know, you look at those things and you say, wow, God really has sustained us. God really has blessed us. And what happens is you begin to develop your relationship with God. You begin to have understanding of, you know, how you can have the proper mindset during those 18 years, those 50 years, in spite of what all it took to get there. And you know, the old saying is, Sheila G, I don't look like what I've been through. and I don't think anybody looks like what they've been through.
No.
Amen. Through the 18 years and the 50 years, mm-hmm. is because during that time, we've learned to develop a relationship with God, where God is dwelling in us and have the ability to maintain godly perspective or godly attitude in the midst of, you know, going through, you know, everyday life.
Amen.
So, you know, we're going to talk about that tonight in the Beatitudes in Matthew, the 5th chapter. But before we get started, we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for this another privilege to come together and study your word. Father, we pray, God, that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you. Oh, God, that we can be workmen and women that need not shame, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us even now, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and that all of this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So how do you keep this, the proper attitude inside? And when you keep that proper attitude on the inside, what happens is it shows up on the outside. And you know, when you look at the teaching of Jesus and the beatitude, what he is teaching, Sheila G, is he's teaching a spiritual attitude. It's
right.
A spiritual attitude. It's an attitude that supersedes the flesh, if you will. It's an attitude that comes supernaturally because of what the Holy Spirit is doing on the inside.
Amen.
Right.
And I often tell people that you can't have a beatitude or the attitude of Christ if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit dwelling within you.
That's right.
Right.
And not only that, but that Holy Spirit, it has a way of keeping you as long as you love God and keep His commandments. So there's this formula that's set up. In order for me to have the proper beatitude, the proper attitude, I have to have the Spirit of God in me, and I have to, by faith, love God and keep God's commandments. Once I love God and keep God's commandment by faith, what happens is the Spirit of God begins to start reshaping me and recreating me and renewing me and regenerating me into this person that has the attitude or the Spirit of Christ that's permeating out of me. So let's before we go to Matthew, the fifth chapter, let's go to John 14 and see how the Spirit of God actually has to be inside, because we can't have the proper attitude without the Spirit of God dwelling in us. So let's go to John 14. That's the Gospel of John in the 14th chapter. And it talks about how God is going to dwell with us through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you look at John 14, beginning at verse 15, What we see is Jesus is teaching. He's saying, I'm getting ready to go. I'm getting ready to prepare a place for you. But he said, when I go, he's going to ask the Father to send a comforter to us who will be able to give us this attitude and keep us in all our ways. Let's look at John 14, 15. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. See, there's a thing that God responds to. He responds to us by understanding that we love Him by keeping His commandments. And you know, if love is an action word, and if you keep His commandments or you keep His word, God says in verse 16, He says, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter that He may abide with you forever. And so what God is saying here is that when we, by faith, accept Him into our lives, and then we take ourselves, Sheila D, off the throne, good God of mine, and put God on the throne, and begin surrendering, Dr. G, our will over to His will,
amen,
then what that does, that gives God preeminence in our spirit. In other words, that sets God up as controlling our lives. In other words, there's this process of surrendering our will over to God's will, letting God come in through the Spirit of God and take over and have control. And we can't have the proper attitude unless God comes in and takes over. We have to take our little off the throne and allow Him to come in. And when He comes in, that attitude that we're going to be talking about in Matthew 5, that's where we can have it. But if we don't have the Spirit of God on the inside, and we don't have ourselves taken off the throne, we still can have a very funky attitude. I'm just gonna be nice about it. I'm not gonna say stank. I mean, we're just gonna have a funky attitude.
Amen.
Hey, Christians, that funky attitude, Dr. G.
Oh yeah, all the time. All the time. All the time.
Sheila G, you had Christians that funky attitude.
Yes, always have a frown or a complaint.
Huh? See, what happens is when we have a frown or a complaint, I'm just saying, what happens is that's when we put ourselves back up on the throne.
Amen.
And take God off the throne.
That's right.
That's true.
Because God says, of all the stuff he blessed you with,
hello,
and I with,
come on,
that we really don't have anything to complain about.
That's right.
Am I right, Sheila G?
Amen.
That's right. That's right.
When we think about all the stuff that God had to put up with us.
Come on.
Huh?
Come on.
I mean, all the stuff that we did and he had to pay for on Calvary's cross.
Hello.
Amen. And then we have the audacity, amen, to get upset. Start complaining and have a bad attitude because of a few trials and tribulations in our lives.
Come on.
But that's not the attitude that we should be having.
Hello.
We should be having an attitude that reflects that God's spirit is in us and that we love God and we keep his commandments. Let's continue to read down in verse 17. And it says, even the spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive,
well,
because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he what? Dwelleth with you and shall be what? In you. And so what we see is this is the formula that says I'm going to be with you.
All right.
And not only am I going to be with you, but I'm going to be in you.
In you.
But the thing about the spirit of God is that he's not going to force himself on you.
Amen.
That's right. That's right.
So in other words, he said, I'll be with you forever.
Uh-huh.
All you got to do is by faith accept me and love me and keep my commandments. And he said, I'm going to be right there with you. In other words, God's got you back.
Mm-hmm.
That's
Sheila
right.
Sheila G, have you ever realized that God has got your back?
All the time. All the time. Every day, every breath I take, every step I make, I know that he is right there. And I even know that there's things that he's protected me from that I haven't even seen. But it's because
amen,
I trust and believe in him that I don't fall into those diverse temptations.
Amen. And Pastor G, when God said back in that verse 16, he said, I will abide with you forever. In other words, God didn't take time off.
All right, now, y'all behave.
So what were you about that verse, and you go over to Revelations where the Lord told John on the Isle of Patmos, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open the door, I will come and sup with him. And so it is. It's a thing where you have to open the door to your heart and you allow the Lord to come in. He's not going to force himself on you if you don't want it. But if you allow him, he will come in and he'll give you that comforter.
Amen. And the thing I like about it is he doesn't take time off.
Nope.
Church folk. But preachers take time off. Amen. There's some strange folk. They just take time off. They're not going to be there. They're not going to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
They figure that they got ordained or they reverend, doctor, bishop or somebody. And don't have, no responsibility to anybody, anything but themselves.
Amen.
They do their own thing.
Uh-huh.
I really never understood that. But I'm glad, Sheila G, that I can pick on preachers. I'm not going to pick on anybody else. If you get some phone calls, I'm going to pastor talk about everybody on the radio.
That's all right.
I'm
going to
talk about preachers. I can pick on preachers. But Sheila G, God doesn't, I'm so glad he doesn't take time off.
He sure
doesn't. No, he doesn't.
And so he has God has this attitude toward us is that I'm going to love you in spite of you because I'm God.
Hello.
And because that love is an agape love that's not predicated upon what I do or what I don't do. Mm. Amen. Mm. But he's going to love me in spite of me.
Yeah. That's right. Unconditional.
Now, what kind of unconditional love is that? Is that God loved me when I was yet in my sin?
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of attitude is that to love people while they're messing with you?
Mm-hmm.
Sheila G., are you tracking with me, Sheila G.?
Yes.
Is somebody that you can love somebody not being lovely to you?
Hello.
Right. When they're messing
now,
with you, when they ignore you.
Yeah. And it's a hard attitude to have when folk are doing you wrong and calling you everything but a child of God, but yet you're supposed to love them anyhow and do for them.
Now, you can't have that attitude unless you have the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And I'm trying to
tell you.
You can't do it in the flesh.
You cannot do it in the flesh.
Attitude unless the Spirit of God comes in. Now, the Spirit of God is in it, but he's not going to take over.
Mm-mm.
But let's see how this thing operates. Let's go back to John 14. And here's another assurance in John 14, 18. He says, I will not leave you comfortless.
Mm.
He said, I will come to you. That's an assurance that whatever is going on in my life, I can be comforted by God.
Amen.
And like you said earlier, Sheila G., like you said earlier, there's things that God will protect you from so you can stay comfortable.
Amen.
Lord have mercy.
That's
so
right.
You can stay comforted. God will, through his Spirit, allow you to be able to smile even though they're throwing muds and fiery arrows at you.
Hello.
That's right. That's right.
Somebody get ready to run down the road here.
That's right.
While David, good God Almighty, said that in that 23rd Psalm, he said that God prepared a table before him
in the presence
of his enemies.
Yes.
In other words, God will sit you down, he will anoint your head with oil, and he will allow your cup to run over. Even in the midst of your enemies, and give you comfort that God will be with you when you're going through the valley of the shadow of death.
Amen.
That you don't have to fear any evil because his rod and his staff will what? Comfort you. Lord have mercy. I'm not going to preach tonight.
Too late.
But when you look at that thing of going through the valley of the shadow of death, going through those tough times, that you can have an attitude that I'm going to be comforted with me,
mm-hmm.
that God is going to stay there. He says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm not going to have to worry about God leaving me. So I can go through this valley of the shadow of death, and I can be comforted in the midst of my enemy throwing and
mm-hmm.
things about me. I can have an attitude of victory in the midst of the battle because I know God is there to deal with it, and that he'll give me peace in the midst of the storm.
Amen.
That's right. That's right. He will definitely give you peace in the midst of the storm. But like you said, we have to choose to allow him to dwell in us, and we can't choose to let him dwell in us one day and not the next day. A lot of times Christians want to put him on a shelf. It's like, okay, I thank you when I need you, Lord. But let me do my thing. And then, oops, here comes another storm. Lord, come off the shelf. Come protect me. But if you really want to truly have the peace, you have to walk with him daily. And thank him daily. Thank him. One of the best things you can do when you're going through a storm is just thank the Lord. Even if you just find the simplest thing to thank him, because that way God knows that you are allowing him to be within you. And when he knows it, then the two get together with you and the Lord and the Spirit dwelling in you, then nothing can bring you down.
Dr. G, when you looked at that 23rd Psalm, I guess, been walking with the Lord over 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
When you understood, when was it when you understood about this, he will cause me to lay down in green pasture and lead me beside the still water? When did that peace begin to be a reality where you begin to start saying, I have an attitude that even though I'm going through hell and high water, that I can lie down in green pastures and the Lord will lead me by the still waters. Mm. When did that attitude begin to start coming out?
That's a good question. I've been preaching almost 40 years. And when I think back, I think when I was going through my divorce, all that I had to go through there,
mm-hmm.
that's when I realized that there was something within me
mm-hmm.
that was containing me. Because regardless of all that I went through,
right.
on Sunday morning, I was right there in church.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. about God's spirit,
right.
that even in the midst of all of that,
right.
it kept me calm when all hell was breaking loose. And so I think it was then, during that time period, that it really dawned on me that there was something within me.
Amen. And that's what's so powerful, that will give us this attitude. And a lot of times people that don't know what you've been through, and don't know the God that you know,
mm-hmm.
they look at you and wonder, like, wow, how did she get through all of that?
Right.
Yeah.
How did she go through all of that? Mm-hmm. How are they
yeah.
able to stay calm mm-hmm. and laugh and have a positive attitude in the midst of all of this? How do they maintain that? And what I want us to know tonight is that it's like Dr. G said, there's something on the inside that's showing up on the outside. There's
that's
something
right.
on the inside that's holding me together.
That's right.
Lord
right.
have mercy. Because if it was up to me, I'm going to scream and shout, y'all. Hold on. If it was up to me, Lord have mercy, I would have fallen apart.
Yes.
Wow. Yes. I would have fell to pieces. I would have fallen apart. I would have been a nervous wreck. I would have had
yep.
a straight jacket on backwards. I would have been in somebody's corner rocking back and forth, drool running
yes.
down my face, talking about,
yeah.
Because the Lord kept me. Lord have mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I can have an attitude that, okay, this is only going to last but a little while.
Yeah, trouble don't last always.
I'm going to learn what I need to learn out of it, and I'm going to keep it moving.
Keep it moving.
But if it wasn't not holding it together, I would have fallen apart. And so people are looking at you and looking at me and looking at all of us and saying, how are they keeping it together?
Yeah.
It's because
yeah.
of God inside of me, and how even though I'm going through difficult times, I still can show love. I still can keep God's
yeah.
commandment because of the God inside me, and then I can have this attitude, this beatitude that demonstrates God in me to others that are around me.
Mm-hmm.
Sheila
That's
G.
True. That's so true. I know that I experienced that when I was first pregnant with when I was pregnant with Jessica, and we found out that she had a birth defect and that she was not going to walk. She'd have fluid on the brain, and they gave us the option to terminate and everything. And on my job,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we believed in the power of prayer, we told everybody. A lot of people were like, you telling people that something's wrong with your baby? Yeah, because I want the power
mm-hmm.
of prayer. But during that time frame, I still smiled. I still laughed because my prayer was, God, give me the strength to deal with whatever we need to deal with. And there were people on my job that would come up to me privately and say, you know that the child is growing inside of you. There's something wrong with it. Yet you still have joy, and you're still talking positively about this baby.
Come on.
And I said, because
come
I
on.
Know that God has it. Whatever
come
it
on.
Is. God has it. His will. I kept saying it's His will. Whatever His will is going to be, it's going to be. And I know that He's not going to leave me nor forsake me. So if I am confident in that, I can't say, okay, yeah, 1 minute everything's fine and, you know, dandy, and the next minute
mm-hmm.
panic about it.
Right.
And people, they kept coming up to me on my job, and they were like, it's just amazing to see how positive you are in a situation where you don't know what the end was going to be.
But you
and it's all because I allowed the Lord to give me that peace. That's what, like, that peace, still water, green pastures,
yeah.
that's what I would do. I just say, okay, Lord, I can't handle it. God,
amen.
I cannot handle it. So you know what? You got to take this because I can't handle it. I'm going to tell you, in my flesh, I can't handle it. But I got to give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then He just takes it, and He just gives you that peace.
And even now.
And then look what He did.
She had it's been transferred over to Jessica.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and the whole thing of that whole thing is God prepares you. It's a gradual thing. When you go back and you really, if you sit down and you think about your life, when you first accepted him,
mm-hmm.
all the way on through where we started going through trials and tribulations, he was preparing us,
yeah.
getting us ready for what was to come. And none of that is, it's like, okay, you come into the body of the Lord, okay, you love him and all that. No, it's a gradual process where you're growing. You don't understand what you're going through. All you know is, okay, you're trying to keep your sanity, but look like things are happening.
My Lord.
And yet, the closer you stay with him, and when you do, supposed to, some kind of way your faith grows and it's built inside to the point that then by the time Jessica comes along and all of that, then, we're at a point now where, okay, well, whatever the Lord wants.
Right.
And now that she's born and she's still going through, Lord has got this.
Amen.
And it's transferred over to her.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
And this is critical stuff. We don't want to rush through this and just jump to the Beatitudes, but we have to give you the basis. We have to look at the basis of, I can't have this attitude if I don't understand how the Holy Spirit works in me. That's why we wanted to start is, there's a place where God will begin to start moving the old thought process out. What I mean by that, there's an old that we respond, there's an old attitude that we respond based upon a self-righteousness, a self-righteousness that we have. And that's why in Romans it says that we have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. In other words, there's some old stuff that comes out of us that the Holy Spirit has to move and clean up and get out of us.
Mm-hmm.
And until we begin to start allowing that, then we still have a stinky attitude.
Amen.
True.
And it's that foundation that he's laying. He does.
And so when you allow that Holy Spirit to transform and renew your mind, you begin to start thinking different. And when you begin to start thinking different, then you can begin to start acting different. But if we don't allow that spirit to take control, what happens is the same old thoughts that we had, that self-righteous, woe is me, I should this, I should have this, I should be doing this, me. Then what that does is that begins to start hindering our walk with God. We begin to start not receiving the blessings that we should have because we're not surrendering and allowing him to start changing us. See, God has to change us. Because let me talk about myself. I'm not going to talk about anybody else. There's some crazy stuff that I used to have in the flesh. Amen. Just straight up attitude. Straight up, we're going to do it my way. Straight up, I know nobody else is listening or nobody. I'm the only one that's going through that. And then there's some crazy stuff that even today that I'm like, man, where in the world did that come from? God, you need to deal with that because that just ain't right. That's not righteousness. That's crazy stuff. And you have to stay in the Word. Let that Word minister to you. Let that Spirit minister to you to start dealing with that stuff because there's old stuff that still needs to be transformed.
Right.
Sheila G.
And that's very true because a lot of people once they get saved and they have the excitement of being saved, they tend to think that's it, and not realizing that old man is still there and it's going to come up every day. And every day you have to strive to be closer and closer to the Lord so you won't fall back into those attitudes. It's like a an alcoholic that once they're recovered, they can't go back drinking again or else they're going to fall off the wagon. It's the same thing in our spiritual life. Once you say you accept Christ, yes, you're saved, but to stay and have that peace, to stay with him and walk with him, to help, to be able to deal with whatever situation you're faced with every single day. You need to communicate with him. You need to study with him. You have to have him with you. You can't put him on a shelf and then think, okay, Lord, I'm going through something. Can you come help me now? Every single day. Otherwise, that old man is going to continue to creep up. It's there, and you can't get self-righteous and think that now, okay, now I'm not doing some of the things that I used to do. But that man, right. that old sinner man is still there, and every day you have to crucify it.
Amen. If somebody wanted to make a statement, we'll see if we get them on the line. Hello, caller.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Good evening, everyone. This is Alan.
Hi.
You have a statement?
Hi. Yes, I just wanted to first give honor to God, and I'm thankful to be listening in again another Thursday. And I just wanted to say hello to you, Minister Kason, and to my pastor, Reverend Gregory, and to my First Lady, Sheila. I just wanted to say that what Sheila was just saying about the old man, you got to do just what she said. And I believe that because I've been changing. But still, just what she just said, that old man is waiting to jump out there at any given moment. So you got to have your feet grounded. You got to do what you say and mean what you say, you know.
Right.
Do what she said, do. Pray, talk to the Lord, read his word, because that's the stuff that he's going to gradually make a change, because he done definitely made a change in my life. You know, everybody just might not see it, but I know I've done had a change come over me. But
Amen.
And I'm thankful to the Lord for that, because I'm finally giving in to him and showing him how much I love him and giving myself into him. And that's why this change is coming through to me, you know.
Amen.
So I'm just thankful to be listening in another Thursday, and that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
That is so
that's
true.
That's so powerful, Sheila G. That you know, it's something when you are saved and you're understanding, like Dr. G was saying, there's a process of this transformation. It's called a sanctification process where God is slowly but surely setting you apart for his glory, changing you from the image of man, fallen man, into the image of a risen Savior. When you start understanding that process, then we won't get, because sometimes you'll get flummoxed, or you'll be like, wow, why would I say that? Why would I do that? I know I did it. Why did that go to attitude? You know, we got an attitude for no reason.
Hello.
I mean, especially with the folks that you say you love in your household. Can I stop right there for a second?
That's all right. Go there.
Folks in your household and your family, ones that love you, the ones that be the ones that stick your thing. I know the First Lady's talking about, yeah, that's right. Tell it. And then those are the ones. She probably gonna have to get on the line here in a second. But those are the ones you get an attitude with. Like, why did I do that? Why? Uh-huh. What was going on? And it's like, you know, it's the old man that's kicking up. It's that old sin nature that needs to be transformed, that needs to be dealt with, that you get so at ease and just do and say things without being prayed up, without being careful, Dr.
Right.
G.
And also with that, you know, the enemy knows that the old man is still there within him.
Still there.
He knows exactly what it takes to get it going again.
Yeah.
So he may have a spouse come and say something. We done had a bad day at work, and didn't mean anything, but because she said it, we fly off into left field. So you're right. You know, that old man is still there. And it's a process where God is trying to help
Amen.
Us remove it. But then along with that, we've got to help him by allowing the Spirit to come, doing the things that it takes, praying without ceasing,
Amen.
Studying that word. And the more of the spiritual that comes in, the more of the old man that will leave.
That's right.
And you know, there's something else that we need to do as well, that especially with sometimes that tongue is such an evil member that it will just come out, and then, like you said, you're like, oop, it's out there now, I can't pull it back. But a lot of times when we start dwelling and really allowing God to dwell within us, when it's in our mind, because as we're saying it, we know it's wrong, but then it's coming out. But if we do like the little 5-second rule, whenever you feel that the Lord is pinging your spirit and saying you really don't need to say that, you need to take 5 seconds before you say it. And if you're dwelling with him, then that will keep it from coming out. Otherwise, it's just going to go fly out anyway.
Lord have mercy. What is up with this attitude? Now, you got to help me out. What is up with this attitude? You got to help me out, Lord have mercy. What is this attitude where we have the audacity to hold on to stuff for 3-4 hours and sometimes 3 or 4 days?
Years or months.
Well, come on, Christian.
It's called the
flesh. I'm going to say I'm the only one. I'm not going to talk about anybody. I know I'm the only one.
That pride.
Ego.
You know, that fleshly pride. You know, we know we shouldn't say it. We say it, and then that pride will keep us from saying, you know what, I'm sorry.
I shouldn't have said that. Something
about saying I'm sorry makes us weak. See, that's in our mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then we hold them nasty grudges at folks.
Because we
mad at somebody.
Right.
Forget all about the spiritual. Now, the spiritual is not there. Now, that's
Went out the window.
That's that carnal mind.
Yeah.
But what is that that will make a person be so upset and angry that they're going to hold on to that thing for 2-3 hours? What kind of attitude? Is that a Christ-like attitude? Is that attitude? Is that an attitude that's glorifying God?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about saved folks. We saved folks, and we mad for 2 or 3 hours at somebody because they said something or they did something.
Mm-hmm.
Help me out, Sheila G.
That's the carnal mind. That is the carnal mind. And then it's about us. It's about, if we really look at it, it's about us and our feelings and our emotions. We sometimes get too caught up in our emotions, and Satan knows that emotions can dictate our actions. If we can control our emotions and we allow the Lord to control our emotions, then that stuff won't come out. But it's our emotions. We're human, we're flesh, and we get that emotional part. But the key is, are you going to let it last for 3 minutes, 3 hours, or 3 days? Now, if you're getting into the 3 days now, okay, you're taking it to, because the Lord is really kind of looking at you like, okay, come on now. But we as Christians get caught up in our emotions, and when we get caught up in our emotions, then that's when Satan jumps in, takes over, and before we know it, it's like the quote-unquote point of no return, where it's like, well, I haven't said nothing now, so now I really have to swallow my pride and go back to that person and say I'm sorry. Whereas if we would try to get it in check quicker, then it won't be as much of a – won't hurt our pride as much to go back to that person and apologize.
Amen.
Wow.
And you know what? That's one of the reasons why I tell folks at New Birth, don't come into the church with them attitude.
Mm-hmm.
You got an attitude and you can't get rid of it, we'll pray for you outside before you come in.
Mm-hmm.
But don't come in there with that mess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it goes back to God saying that if you keep my commandments,
mm-hmm.
you know, when we first looked at it, John 4, and he said, if you love me, he said, love me, keep my commandments. And so what we have to learn to do is to understand what his word says about that attitude that we're trying to get. In other words, that attitude of mean and nasty, that attitude of rude, that attitude of selfishness, that attitude, God doesn't, he doesn't condone those things. And so if we want the Spirit of God to give us a different attitude, we need to know what his word says about those things.
Mm-hmm.
Those words create more damage, that little pink member in our mouth.
That tongue is an evil member.
More damage, and what it does is it doesn't build up relationships, but it tears down relationships. And so that's what God says about those type of attitudes. And so a B attitude that we should have is that God says, if I love him, I will keep his commandments.
Right.
And when I keep his commandments, that's what's going to allow me to have the proper attitude, even when someone has hurt my feelings.
Right.
Even when someone has done me wrong, I will understand that my Lord and Savior, who's given me this Holy Spirit, would not respond in that way.
Mm.
Suppose Jesus responded every time we messed up.
Hello.
Oh, my goodness. As much as we mess up, and that's the thing, is we're Christ-like, we won't be responded like that. If he responded the way that we do... We all would have been wiped out a long time ago because we're always messing up, and then we always have to come to him. And you know when your conscience pings you, you know it. Everybody knows it. People can act like, well, I didn't do nothing wrong, but when it's just you and the Lord, you know you did something wrong. But if mm-hmm. Jesus responded that way, we would all be wiped off, or he would have just said, forget y'all, I can't deal with it. But he does. He continues to love us. And he continues to knock on the door. He continues to provide us with comfort. He continues to give us chance after chance after chance after chance. He wants us to keep doing it until we get it right.
And when we look at that, it's like, how do we have the nerve to hold something on somebody? Dr. G?
That's a good question. Especially when you think about the fact that now, it says here, if you love me,
yes.
keep my commandments.
Yes.
And if we keep his commandments, mm-hmm. we know that the Spirit is there, the Holy Spirit is there.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't allow the Spirit to work within us,
yes.
the Spirit is just sitting there on the side. It's going to let you act like a fool.
Uh-oh.
And then
oh,
do,
my goodness.
We bring on that whole thing of the conscience. And rather than do that, we might as well just go on and do what we need to do in the beginning.
Yeah.
Because you don't want your conscience to come mess with you.
Right.
So what you're telling me is that God will allow you to look like a fool?
Hello.
If anybody ever felt like a fool, you know you was wrong, you kept being
yeah.
wrong because you were so prideful that you wouldn't stop it, and you know you looking like a plum fool.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
And everybody else know you looking like the kids, even though you looking like a plum fool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everybody around you like you looking like a plum. You just need to cut that out and just leave that alone.
And but again, our emotions take over. Our emotions. That's if we could ever really allow the Lord to dwell within us and control our emotions, a lot of that would not happen.
Mm. Oh, my goodness. But this thing is it's to a point where when you begin to start saying, all right, I have to understand that I need to know the word, because if I don't know the word, I'm not going to all right, I'm going to be looking like a fool. I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings. Somebody's going to hurt my feelings. That's why God is concerned about us keeping his commandments. But Sheila G, you can't keep his commandments if you don't know them.
You have to, you have to know. You have to know. And you have to have a relationship with him.
How do you know the commandments, Dr. G?
Unless you study.
You have to study. You have to study the word. We have to learn the word better than we know the soap opera.
Amen.
Or the reality TV shows. Or the football shows. Or the basketball shows. We have to learn the word better than that, because the enemy knows the word.
Amen.
Yeah.
The enemy knows the word. Most of the time, he knows the word better than the average Christian.
That's right.
And he'll twist it out.
Yes,
and you know, in that book of Matthew, in the fifth chapter, in that fourth chapter, Jesus was led out into the wilderness, tempted by the devil, and he quoted scripture, and the devil was quoting scripture right next to him. How are we gonna deal with the devil if the only thing we know, the book of the Bible we know, is Genesis?
Amen.
And along with reading the Bible, part of it is studying too, because if you don't pray and have a prayer life. When you read the Bible, there's some scriptures that I've read more than once, and every time I see it, I get something different out of it. But that's because I'm praying and I'm asking the Lord, at that point in time, what is it that you want to me to be revealed out of this word today? And if we don't have a prayer light, a relationship, a communication with him, then we would just be reading scripture, and it wouldn't be dwelling within us.
Right. Amen. Let's go back to the word. And Jesus is talking in verse 19, John 14:19. He says, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. In other words, the word is alive. God is alive inside of us.
Amen.
People might not be able to see the Spirit, but they can see the response because of the Spirit in you. They can see God how he illuminates you and responds to you. And so people can't see a physical God, but mm-hmm. they can see the Spirit of God illuminating out of you.
That's right.
And, and then he goes on and says in verse 20, he says, at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. In other words, this is the key to Christianity. This is the key to the New Testament, is that the Spirit is abiding with us. In mm-hmm. other words, we've been blessed. The Old Testament saints were blessed, but we were blessed that the Spirit is abiding in us mm-hmm. all the time now.
Amen.
In other words, we don't have an excuse, because the Spirit of God is abiding in us all the time to help us with our attitude. And if you look at verse 21, he says, he that hath my commandment and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now, that word manifest means that he will reveal mm-hmm. himself to us. So like you said, Sheila G and Dr. G, you got to study his word. Yeah. Just don't read it,
that's
but
right.
you got to
right.
study it. And that's when the manifestation of God begin to show up in your life. That's when you begin to start having spiritual understanding.
Right.
What's the difference between spiritual understanding and just knowledge? Spiritual understanding gives you the wisdom to be able to use the knowledge that you're given.
Right.
You can just have knowledge, but when you have spiritual understanding, it means you have wisdom to use the knowledge. People at young ages have a lot of knowledge, but they don't have the wisdom to apply the knowledge correctly. So
right.
when God begins, you begin to start studying the word, you begin to start spending time with God in study and in prayer, what happens is he'll manifest and he'll start, like you said, scriptures that you read before,
mm-hmm.
he'll begin to start manifesting and revealing this stuff to you, and you'll be like, wow, I didn't know that before.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't understand it before. But now you have a spiritual understanding, and the Spirit will begin to start enlightening you, because you, over a period of time, have been going through the sanctification process of renewing your mind and taking yourself off the throne and starting to think more spiritual than carnal. And what happens is now you begin to start saying, wow, how I really understand how the Spirit works in my life and how he manifests in my life. And now I don't have to respond the way I used to respond in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
not of God. Amen. That's not pleasing God. That doesn't demonstrate to other people who God is. And so now I'm changed and I'm doing things different because God is manifesting himself to me in the Spirit. And now I can have a beatitude, amen, that glorifies God.
Mm. That's right. That's right.
Sheila G.
That attitude is so important. The attitude that we have towards Christ, the attitude of faith, believing in him, studying, not just reading his word, and then allowing the Lord to dictate to us how our life should go. You know, like during certain situations within your life, there's certain scriptures that you lean on. For example, when I'm going through something I really don't understand, but I know that God has a victory, I lean on a scripture that says, lean not to your own understanding. That's studying God's word. That's knowing God's word. That's doing like what Jesus did when he was tempted. For the situation that you're in and for the temptation that you have, you know God will put it in your heart. What word, what scripture you need to pull up
right.
in your mind and your heart and speak to get you through that situation.
Amen. And this is what Christ is teaching here. He's teaching his disciples here. And again, we have to understand this is foundational. Foundational is to understand the power that's within you and how to unleash the power that's in you.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many Christians that are defeated. There's so many Christians that are not walking in authority and power that's present to them right now because they won't get into that word and start allowing God to manifest himself in their lives. God says that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But
right.
for some reason, the enemy has, let me say this, he has a way to distract us
mm-hmm.
from recognizing our potential to be spiritually lifted or spiritually involved to the point where we have the power and the authority at our disposal and using it. He has a way of distracting us by using things of the world. things of the world, and not only things of the world, he have things that we like to do, amen, that will cause us to be distracted. Like, you know, in my flesh, I would like to be at home sleeping right now. Can I keep it real?
Come on, say it.
With the covers pulled up to my neck.
Yeah, no. Tell it.
Huh?
Tell it.
A little bit of slob running down my cheek on my pillow. I'm just being real.
Uh-huh.
I know that's right.
The enemy would try to tell me, yeah, you worked long. You've been up since about 3:30.
You worked all day.
You worked real long, worked mm-hmm. hard. You didn't do this, did that.
Uh-huh.
You know, you love the Lord, but you know, you need your rest too, Kayson.
Come on.
Go on. Lord ain't going to say nothing to you. You need your rest.
Come on.
But see, on Thursday night, I'm at the filling station.
Hello.
See, he didn't want to tell you that I'm running down spiritually from Sunday to Thursday. But on Thursday night, I'm at the filling station getting filled back up.
That's right.
I can make it to next Sunday.
That's right.
But see,
the enemy would distract me, and then he'll tell you, well, you know, it's a show you wanted to see, a new series that came on. And you know you can DVR it, but
it's
just on, and you might as well go ahead and watch that show, and you can catch up on your studying later on, Dr.
Uh-huh.
G.
Yeah, you can take one Thursday off.
Amen. But what happens is we don't get that charging up. We don't get that filling up at the filling station,
mm-hmm.
and the enemy will deceive us to thinking that we don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm not getting filled up. God's not manifesting himself to me. Now I'm getting manifested through my ear gate, my eye gate, all that
mm-hmm.
stuff that's coming through the TV, all that telephone coming through the phone, all that gossip that's coming over.
Mm-hmm.
If he can deceive us just enough
mm-hmm.
to say they're going to get a little bit weaker,
yep.
a little bit weaker.
Right.
When
right.
the challenge comes, I guarantee you on Friday morning,
uh-huh.
they're going to
mm-hmm.
cuss so-and-so out.
Come on.
And when they cuss so-and-so out, there's somebody over there in the corner talking about they don't need all that Jesus. Going to say, I thought you were a what?
Hello, a Christian. I'm a Christian.
I know what I'm talking about.
But, you know, that falls in what you're talking about, that as far as putting other things before God, goes back to what you were talking about in John, where it says, keep my commandments. And one of his commandments is God is a jealous God. And that's the one commandment that people tend to put on the back burner because they will put God on the back burner. It's like church is secondary. Bible study is secondary. Prayer is secondary. My job, my boo, my favorite TV show, all that comes first. And I'm going to fit God in somewhere. But
amen.
Again, if you want him to dwell in him, you need to keep his commandments. Keeping his commandments is understanding that he's a jealous God. Understanding that he's a jealous God means that you will put him first in everything.
What we do, we give God the leftovers.
Mm.
Sloppy second.
Folk don't want to hear that. We give God the leftovers of our time, our money, and our time. Then when he don't bless us in the way that we think he should, then we're mad.
My goodness.
Or don't that's understand.
Just mm. That's just real. And so what happens is when we don't get charged up, when we don't get to the filling station, as my Bible says, get to the filling station. If you don't get filled up, what happens is you get run down.
Amen.
And the enemy knows if he can run you down gonna bleed y'all fast. He gonna bleed
then the
y'all
old man will come right back up. Mm-hmm.
You don't even know. You don't even know that you bleeding down.
Right.
And then the next thing
right.
you know, you acting a fool, acting out of character,
yeah.
acting out of attitude because you
right.
didn't get your fill up
hello.
On Thursday or
uh-huh.
on Sunday.
Right.
And now you're like, oh my gosh, I'm like a complete fool,
mm.
complete idiot, wrong attitude, setting a terrible example.
Come on.
Cussing people up, giving
mm-hmm.
people the gestures in the car, you know, messed up with my kids, my husband, my spouse, and then I'm supposed to get up and preach on Sunday.
Ouch.
Right.
Mm. I'm going to mess with the preacher.
Yeah. But you know that's just right. Because I found in all my days of preaching that come the if I want to be on the right frame of mind on Sunday, now I can't get bad with girlfriend on Saturday night.
Nope,
no time during the, towards the weekend. Mm-hmm. I've got to be in the right frame of mind, or it's more difficult.
That's right.
Trying to get up and preach to people talking about the goodness of God.
And man, it's your wife.
With your spouse. Something wrong with that.
gotta get it straight.
And the thing is, the physical, the carnal part of you don't want to, but the spiritual know you better do it.
My goodness. To be right with God.
Keeping that commandment.
And so that's important, like you said, to not put God on the back burner. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Because the enemy will try to put every... Has anybody ever realized how many things that come up on Sunday?
Ouch.
How many things come up on Thursday?
Yeah.
How many things come up? This stuff just come up. Mm. And you like, oh, I got to do so-and-so. I got to do... Oh, my goodness, this came up. It's just come up. It's not by accident.
No.
This is the enemy trying to take... Because he knows if you get into that word and you get that word manifesting, God reveals to you, and you get empowered and you begin to start understanding God and you begin to start understanding your purpose. You begin to start understanding your authority in God. You begin to understanding what God has called you to do. What happens is you begin to start becoming a powerful disciple for God.
Mm-hmm.
And see, God, He understands that the most powerful Christian is a follower of God,
Amen.
A follower of Christ.
Right.
Satan said, you can come and worship all you want.
Uh-huh.
He said, you're going to worship God. He said, but we got worship down.
Amen.
But discipleship,
uh-huh.
We struggle with discipleship.
Come on, then. Come on.
Right.
We're struggling with trying to be like God and learning to be like him. We can worship. Folk can worship. Tear the church down.
Amen.
Doors be falling. We running around up and down.
Mm-hmm.
We got that down. We can do that real good.
Amen.
Because the emotion is in
right.
that. We got that down. But when it comes to studying that word, getting
mm-hmm.
that word in you and applying it
mm-hmm.
to your life and becoming a disciple, a follower of Christ, looking like Christ, that's when it takes some time. That's when it takes some discipline.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it takes some sacrifice.
That's right.
That's when it takes some understanding that God knows what's best for me, but God's not going to force what's best for
me
on me.
Right.
That's right.
Oh, that verse.
Right.
And you have to have that relationship with him to know what's best.
Let's finish up in verse 22 through 26. It says, Judas said unto him, this is John 14:22. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord. How is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? In other words, Judas, he doesn't understand spiritually what God is telling him. And so God breaks it down in verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. In other words, Jesus is saying, I'm not telling you what I'm coming out with. This is what my Father says.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is demonstrating here is that he's keeping the commands by doing what the Father told him to do. And so,
uh-huh.
Sheila G, if Jesus keeps the command of God and does it, don't we understand if this is the example that we should be keeping the word of God?
That's correct. And it shouldn't be lip service. It should be how we live.
And so Jesus did what the Father commanded.
Mm-hmm.
And he
mm-hmm.
says, if you do what the Father commands, he said, we're going to come and we're going to abide
mm-hmm.
with you. We're going to be with you. We're going to love you. And we're going to be there with you. And when he says we, he's talking about the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
he's talking
yeah.
about the God and the Trinity.
Come on now.
That everything you need, amen, he's sufficient
yeah.
to provide everything
yeah.
you need.
That's right.
It's
mm-hmm.
the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Mm-hmm.
It's everything you need. Is God said, I'll come in and I'll provide. You
yeah.
won't go lacking anything if you begin to start understanding that God says, seek me out. Seek me first. Seek me, and I'll reward you diligently.
Mm-hmm.
Take some time and put me on the front burner. And watch me begin to start manifesting myself and blessing you. And that's
you're
going
to make me start running. You're going to make me start running because that is so true. When you put God first, things happen in your life that just are like, wow, it just blows your mind away. And when you put him, you know, people make it seem like it's so hard to put him first and make these quote-unquote sacrifices. But when you put him first, there is nothing like seeing how God just makes your enemy your footstool, or just moves things out of the way, or just gives you the peace that surpasses all understanding. There is nothing like that when you put God first. If you put him first, I'm telling you, the blessings just rain down, even in the midst of confusion.
Amen. Amen. And when you look at this, He says in 25, Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But again, he was preparing them that he was going away. He was preparing them for his death, his burial, and his resurrection. But he was telling them, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe in him. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you into myself. But he said, I'm going to pray the Father that he'll send you another comforter that will abide with you forever. He said, well, he's saying, I'm telling you this before I go, so when I'm not here, you can draw on the Spirit of God that God sent here to be with you. So the same comfort that they had when Jesus was present with them will be the same Spirit, amen, that God will allow to be in us while Jesus is not present with us fleshly, but in the Spirit.
Amen.
And so in verse 26, he says, but the Comforter, Lord have mercy, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in what? My name. He shall teach you what? All things, and bring what? All things to your remembrance, whatsoever I said unto you. In other words, this is how we can begin to start having that attitude, because the Spirit of God will teach us and bring us to our remembrance with the what we've studied, what the Word has said to us. And when you can reflect on the Word and begin to start applying the Word to our lives, then what happens is you begin to start becoming a powerful disciple for God, and you begin to become the Word alive. You begin to start being the Word instead of just knowing the Word. You begin to start being the Word. You begin to start being illuminated by the Word. The Word begins to start being you. You have become the Word. You have become the disciple of God who can lead by example and begin to start transforming the world and start being the light of the world, which that beatitude we're going to talk about next week, which that beatitude says that we are the light of the world and we are the salt. We are the salt. And when we begin to start being transformed, well, we are the salt and we're the light and we're the disciples, and that illumination, the Spirit of God begins to start coming out of us because of what we have yielded ourselves to repent and allow God to have preeminence in our life, then what happens is that attitude begins to start shaking up the world.
Mm.
And those first century Christians, when the Spirit of God came in and they were yielding and they were in one place on one accord, and they were continuing breaking in bread and fasting and studying the Word of God, those handful of folks, they turned the world upside down. But some kind of way, Sally Jesse, Oprah, Dr. Phil, Dr. Oz, oh my goodness, everybody, Dennis Rodman and Michael Jordan and the Super Bowl and all the Redskins, Cowboys, you name it. All of that has turned the world back upright. Michael Jackson, Whitney Houston, everybody.
I love it.
All that stuff has turned the world back upright. But when folks begin to start getting into that Word and begin to start looking like the Word, what happens is that turns the world upside down. In other words, it begins to start convicting people that they need God because of the godly lives that we're living.
Amen.
Dr. G, I'm running over. Dr. G, you got anything on that?
No, I'm going to leave it right there. I mean, that basically says it all. Unless we are in the Word and the Word is in us, then we really don't have anything to go on.
Sheila G?
We just have to allow the Lord to dwell within us and let what's in us come out on the outside of us. So
Amen.
We should live the life. It should just be shown by the way we live.
That's right.
And it's a faith attitude.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. I don't want to go over our time limit. I know we do an hour on Thursday. Praise the Lord for the hour that we have. I done got filled up. Amen. I've been to the filling station, Sister Randolph. I've been to the filling station. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. Merciful God, our Father, we thank you again for your word, God. We thank you for how you continue to manifest yourself strong and mighty in our lives. And God, we just thank you, God, that you have allowed us to have a different attitude, God, that it's an attitude that has been changed by the power of your spirit that dwells within us. And God, we just pray, God, that we would continue to be yielded vessels to your will and to your way, God, that we might become the disciples that you have called us to be, that we would be the children of God that love you and keep your commandments. God, we just pray for all of our families and our friends and our churches and sister churches. God, we just pray for them collectively, individually, God, that they would have a burning desire, God, that you would prick them and that you would trouble them, God, that we would know that we need to study to show ourselves approved unto you, God, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. God, we just pray that through the power of your spirit, God, that if there's anything that comes against us, God, that we will be able to overcome by the word and the power of your spirit, God. God, we know that any weapon that is formed, you said in your word, God, that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper, God. And God, we just thank you, God, that we have a history, we have a track record that if you be for us, that you are more than the whole world against us. God, we just thank you right now, God, that you are more than a conqueror, God, and that we don't fight in the spirit, God, but our battle, God, is in the spirit, God. And we just thank you, God, that your Holy Spirit continues to dwell in us, God. And, Father, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus, God, that if there be any ailments or sickness or disease among us, God, that we would ask that according to your word, that by your stripes that you would touch, heal, in the name of Jesus, God, because we know that man has the ability to diagnose and prescribe. But Father, we thank you that your word says that you are our healer. And so, God, we thank you in advance for your healing. We thank you in advance for your deliverance. We thank you in advance, God, for the peace that surpasses all understanding. And oh, God, when the time gets tough, when the roads get rough, God, when it comes a little difficult, God, help us to stand, God, and having done all to stand, help us to stand some more. God, we know that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that you'll lift the standard, yes, and we'll be able to stand up around above our enemies, God. And when, God, they come to eat up our flesh, they will stumble and fail. And God, yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God, we don't have to fear any evil, God, because your rod and your staff, they will comfort us, God. Though we have the enemies in front of us, God, we thank you that you will prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. God, we just thank you right now, God, because when we look back over our lives, we see that it was nobody else but you that held it together when we should have been out of our right mind, God. You were the one, God, that kept us in our right mind. And God, we just thank you, God, for your word brings back those fond memories, God, of how we leaned and depend on you and how you delivered us from them all. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you, God, will deliver us from them all. God, we just thank you for what our hearts have felt, what our ears have heard tonight. And God, we just pray that all of this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' mighty name. And our spiritual soul says, amen.
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 All right. That's going to do it for us tonight. We pray that everyone will continue to study, and that's going to be it. and we're going to ask you to come back next Thursday night. Invite somebody else to come back Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.